When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
The Morning Show. The home team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, we've got a loaded edition of the crossover podcast presented, as always, by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, and also the still relatively new, I guess it opened up right before football season last year, in the old Waffle House building in Five Points, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Chris Brehm from the home team, David Johnston from the morning show. You stir that up and you get the crossover podcast. We appreciate you checking us out. If you subscribe to us on iTunes or listen anytime you want on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, easier even, the 960 The Ref app, where you can listen to all of our on-demand content whenever you want. You can listen to The Ref live anywhere you are whenever you want. Stream Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile geofence of Athens. And also, and this might have come in handy on Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, the open mic feature that you can just let loose. And if you're frustrated about something, hey, if you're even happy about something, we like to know that too. But 1-8 is now a day of infamy for Georgia, from 1-8-1-8, that terrible loss to Bama, and also the day that Jake Fromm announced that he is headed to the NFL draft. And what was Dave? I mean, really, not even to me, like, the bigger bombshell of the day was the news that Cade Mays was entering the transfer portal.
So when the Dogs played Alabama on 1-8-1-8, it was kind of 50-50 who would win the game. So with Fromm's announcement, it's kind of 50-50 on which way he was going to go. And then the way the game ended, that was kind of the bombshell when the Dogs had Alabama push back. So yep. The bombshell yesterday was the Cade Mays transfer portal story. So
yeah.
1-8-18 and 1-8-20 were both rough days for Georgia. Did anything happen on January 8th in 2019?
I guess not. I mean, we have to go back and look. Yeah. Nothing that comes to the top of my mind. I know it was the eighth day of the year that when Patrick Reed won the Masters, but that was in April. That would have been on April 8th.
Yep.
But, yeah, there was like the 8 day of months was not good, I guess, in 2018, because that was when Reed won the Masters,
he
right?
He won it, yeah, in 18.
Yeah, because Tiger won it last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
how quickly we forget.
Yeah, but I don't know. With Fromm, it's I wish he'd have come back to Georgia, but I get his decision, too. The guy's going to be paid a lot of money to play football next year, so that was the options that he was weighing. And most of the knocks you hear about him are, well, he's not tall and he doesn't have the strongest arm. None of those things are going to get better with another year in Athens. And so he made the decision to go ahead and jump.
So who are the quarterbacks that – like, so you're going to have Tua, you're going to have Herbert.
And Burrow.
And have Burrow. And then you get differing opinions from the scouts on whether Eason or Fromm would go next. Is that the...
Well, and there's also a lot of buzz with the kid from Utah State,
oh, yeah, Jordan
Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Who had... he had a weird year last year, but they had a coaching change because Matt Wells went to Texas Tech, and then they hired that Gary Anderson who came back.
Did he have a new offensive line? There's all these other factors that people want to overlook that do make a difference.
With Fromm.
And Fromm had the same thing with the receivers.
Yeah, well, and even thinking now...
And a new coordinator.
And you look to fast forward to next year, and Fromm would be looking at a completely made-over offensive line that now is being hit with even more attrition that the guy we all assumed was going to be the starting left tackle is going to go to Tennessee now.
By the way, Utah State this year had two returning starters on offense, and Love was one of them.
Yeah. So he had he threw 17 picks and 20 touchdown passes. His numbers the rest of his career have looked really good. So I know there's been buzz about him, and he's You know, he's like,
what were his numbers again? What'd you say?
This year he had 20 touchdowns and 17 picks.
Oh, wow. Because he was 32-6 last year.
Yeah.
Or the year before. That's a big difference.
So I know that's why his name keeps popping up, and it's weird to see a guy with that kind of touchdown to interception ratio. But, you know, there are, I guess, a lot of some other factors that might have gone into play. But, yeah, I think there's two tiers of quarterbacks. There's the three you mentioned that are the obvious top three that will probably all go in the top 10. And then I think Fromm is going to be jockeying for position in that second tier with Eason and Love. And those three are kind of the next in line.
Else. I think those are the main ones, yeah. So, hey, I saw Walter Football updated their mock draft yesterday, and they put Fromm 23rd to the Patriots. So if that ended up being the case, you know, how can you blame him?
I don't – depending – maybe the Chargers take Herbert where they pick.
Yeah.
But if they didn't, they have the 37th pick of the second round. I wouldn't see Fromm slipping past them there.
Nope.
With Rivers aging, the Saints have got, you know – Breeze is now aging because last weekend in the NFL playoffs was not a good weekend for 40 something quarterbacks.
Well, you know, with Brady saying he's not finished playing football, does that mean with the Patriots or just in general?
It sounds like in general.
So he might not be with the Patriots next year.
I would think they're still the leading contender, but maybe not. You know, the Patriots could go to other options. Like, I mean, Bridgewater played well for the Saints when Breeze was hurt. I mean, he might be someone a team would take a look at to come in and start next year. I don't know what the status of Scam is with Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. I just it's going to be weird to see if he's in a different uniform next year, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but I, for one, am excited about this new quarterback Georgia will have who we only heard of like yesterday or a couple days ago.
But, well, I, you know, it's how it is. We kind of do the same thing in recruiting where we get excited or get disappointed in a player that comes or doesn't come when a lot of us haven't even seen him play.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I try to take time to go back and look at the film on these guys, but – it's funny because I know you do the same thing, but what are you seeing when you're watching like something on YouTube? It's their highlights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't see
it's
the bad
good
stuff.
Plays. Yeah.
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 But
so I get it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the – I guess we all assume Georgia's probably going to have to go and get someone with experience and go into the portal and get a transfer in here, but there's also the possibility that Georgia just decides, well, we've got Bennett, we've got Beck, and we've got Mathis, and maybe we'll roll with one of those guys this season.
What about Chase Bryce of Clemson, who would have 2 years as a grad transfer? Now, he hasn't announced anything, but they're still playing right now. But, you know, Lawrence has to come back for another year, and then they've got Ukulele, or however you say his name, coming in. So you wonder if we might see Bryce in the portal next year this year, obviously with the local ties that he has. He played football at Grayson, but I believe he played baseball at North Oconee.
Okay. I know he is from Oconee County.
Yeah, so there's a, definite connection there.
Yeah. He obviously hadn't played much. The last time I remember seeing him was when Lawrence got hurt in that game against Syracuse.
He saved our bacon.
Yeah, Bryce came in and saved
because Kelly Bryant wasn't there to help him, and Dabo let us know he didn't like that when he didn't give him a championship ring.
Yeah, well, because Brian had left that week.
Yes, that whole week.
Yeah, and then it worked out that, Lawrence gets hurt, but Bryce came in and saved the day. So, well, you got the two big names out there, I guess, that have had experience, which would be Newman from Wake Forest and then Costello coming out of Stanford. Another name that's been floating around there is Anthony Brown, who was at Boston College. I'll be honest, I don't really know anything about him. Newman I'm familiar with, and Costello I'm familiar with. But Brown is I've got nothing on him.
Boston College fired their coach, Steve Adazio, and he's now the head coach at Colorado State.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, he replaced Bobo.
Yeah.
So it is fascinating the way fandom works, and you know, some fans are just we're the next man up mentality, and it's true. Georgia has been recruiting at a really high level, but part of the high level of recruiting that Georgia has been doing has involved signing the number 5 rated prospect in the country, Jacob Eason, at quarterback, the number 44 rated prospect in the country, Jake Fromm, at quarterback, and then the number 2 rated prospect in the country, Fields, at quarterback. And now on the roster, you've got a guy who was basically unrated coming out of high school in Bennett, who's the only one that has any game experience. And Mathis was ranked in the 300s, and Beck was ranked in the 200s. It's not terrible, but that is a steep drop-off from the level Georgia had been recruiting at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can say to yourself, hey, these guys were highly recruited, which they were, but there's a big difference between signing a Josh Fields, who's the number 1 player in the country, and signing somebody who's a number 300 player in the country, and then taking that number 300 player in the country who hasn't played and have him playing behind an offensive line that, sure, it has talent but doesn't have much experience either, which is what Georgia's going to be dealing with in the fall.
Well, I mean, even thinking about the potential line now with the loss of Mays, so Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, the two tackles, were not projects that Georgia developed.
Right.
They were 5 stars that were top 10 and top 15 prospects coming out of high school. Ben Cleveland was up there too. You know, Kinley might have been more of kind of a fringe guy when he was leaving, but high school and coming here. But so now with Mays exiting, Salyer was a big-time recruit, but he always kind of figured more like he was an interior guy, but maybe now out of necessity he's going to have to play one of the tackles. And if you're talking about then about Owen Condon or Xavier Truss being one of the tackles, then you're going from Wilson and Thomas and what they were coming out of high school, and then Truss and Condon were ranked in the hundreds coming out. So it's not to write them off completely, but it's just for all the emphasis on recruiting that we've been doing here and how well Georgia's been recruiting, that's because Thomas and Wilson, Georgia was getting guys like that, and Truss and Condon are way different prospects.
And 2 years ago, I mean, Andrew Thomas was the starter at right tackle for that SEC championship team, but he was special. I mean, he was a different guy. And there's not that guy right now. I mean, in fact, we were doing on the morning show, we were doing like our Mount Rushmore of Bulldogs in the teens, and everybody kept coming up with skill guys. I go, what about Andrew Thomas? He's on my Mount Rushmore of the for Georgia for the teens. Just because of what he did. I mean, guy started at tackle 3 years in a row and only lost 3 regular season games.
And he's probably going to end up being the highest draft pick out of any one of the teams.
Right.
Roquan
now
he's
8.
Roquan went 10? Or no, Rue's 6. Higher than that. Is he higher than that? Yeah.
Did he go 6? I may be wrong on that. But, yeah, Thomas could end up moving up the charts too there. So, yeah, I mean, guy's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Roquan's definitely on the Mount Rushmore. I put Thomas on there too, and Fromm.
Yep. Murray, you put him on there?
I'm not putting him on there.
I mean, he was only the, SEC's all-time passing leader, Georgia's all-time passing. But here's the thing. What about, like, the running backs? What about Gurley? What about Chubb? What about Michelle?
Gurley's the best running back we've had since probably Herschel, but it's like we didn't really win anything with him. And that was the same thing with Murray.
But Murray.
And, like, I don't know. I remember that game.
So Michelle and Chubb.
Yeah, Murray threw, like, 7 touchdown passes against New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was breaking all those records Peyton Manning held, but like Peyton Manning didn't play cupcakes in the 90s.
No, I get it. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, what about Jarvis Jones?
Yeah, Jarvis would be. You know,
so, I mean, there's definitely a lot
of
candidates.
Mount Rushmore, he's got 4 heads.
I know. That's what makes it a good topic.
Yeah. We've got to split, like Chubb and Michelle and make them like, was it Rosie Greer and the man with 2 heads? It was Greer and, I can't remember who the other actor was in it.
I know what you're talking about. Or like that Farrelly Brothers movie with Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, like that. So you can have like basically have like Chubb and Michelle as the man with 2 heads.
Siamese twins.
Yeah, Roquan.
Yeah.
Thomas and Fromm.
But you go with Thomas also?
Yeah. He started as a true freshman at right tackle.
Yeah, on a team that should have won the national championship.
Yeah.
I still say that. But, yeah, no, I mean, I didn't mean to get into that debate, but it is. And that's what I think, too. It's like people are going to, and this is not an opinion, this is a fact. People are going to underestimate. Everybody's so focused on losing Fromm and losing Swift they're going to underestimate all year long through the summer into the fall workouts, the summer workouts, the offensive line. Because offensive line gets kind of overlooked that way. But teams that piece together, have to replace a majority of their offensive linemen, it's not the same. Not saying these guys can't be good, but it is tough when you've got to replace a left tackle. It's tough when you got to replace a right tackle. It's really tough when you have to replace both, plus your guards, plus your number one backup in the interior.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy at all.
And again, I go back to, we've been so caught up and in love with how Georgia has been recruiting over the last couple of seasons. So it might feel like, well, hey, we've been recruiting at a high level, we'll be fine. But there is there's a huge gap in the recruiting rankings of the guys Georgia will be losing from the offensive line last year and the guys potentially taking their places this season now.
Yeah.
You know, depending on, again, Cleveland's status, which is up in the air, and who knows about Clay Webb? He has an ongoing legal matter. So,
yes.
I mean, to say the least. Yeah, but we have no idea, you know, if he's going to be someone we can count on now.
Now, here's the thing, too, and again, we're talking about high school seniors, but I guess the young man from New Orleans, Van Pran, seems like he's still pretty solid to Georgia, but Broderick Jones is another one, too, that, you know, his status is kind of 50-50.
It sounds like with Van Pran, it's kind of like with Jordan Davis a couple years ago, that their high school just likes to kind of do the thing on signing day, and that's why he hasn't signed. But Jones, it's pretty clear he's being still heavily targeted by Auburn, and I'm sure others.
I'm sure, yeah. There's plenty of others that we don't know about that are still maybe trying to
But Georgia needs to get him.
Yes.
I think the plan for next year now is sign a grad transfer. Just tread well. Georgia's not going to be terrible next season, but I think if you think Georgia's going to win 10 or 11 games next year, you're going to, especially when one of the games you know is going to be in Alabama, which is going to be a loss. It was likely to be a loss even with Fromm, but then you're going to set yourself up to be disappointed. But could Georgia still squeeze out maybe another 9-win season? Absolutely, but Georgia's got to tread water, as someone else would say, beat Tech. We got to beat Tennessee now, too, given what, you know, the shenanigans going on there with Mays.
You mean that November game against Tennessee? Yes.
Yeah, the November game against Tennessee.
Versus the October game against Auburn?
Yeah, and then the full court press has got to be on. Georgia's got to sign next year. The priority is either Caleb Williams or Brock Vandegrift from right down the road.
And the Brock Vandegrift thing is interesting, too, because I kind of thought that would be – there was something going on there with Lincoln Riley, but apparently not.
Unless the Clowns are still interested in them.
Yeah.
They still haven't hired anyone, but if...
That's true, and there is the Baker-Mayfield connection. Yeah. I guess that's still a possibility.
But you'd think if they wanted to hire him, they would have already done it.
Yeah. That's what I would have thought, too.
So, I don't know. They must... Is it they're waiting for someone that's currently in the playoffs? I don't know. They could be with Greg Roman, the Ravens OC.
Yeah. Or what about... Well, I guess... what about Bieniemy? I mean, that guy deserves a job.
I know. I mean, he's that's been a hot button topic with the Rooney Rule. And
yeah. I mean, that guy is now, I don't know if he'll make it or not, but as far as a candidate and what they've done and what they've been, he's legit.
Give him a shot.
Yeah.
I think the appeal with Roman is he was with Kaepernick at San Francisco. Now he's doing what he's doing with Lamar Jackson at the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So. You know, you've got those kind of mobile quarterbacks that are multifaceted. He seems to be a guy that can figure those dudes out.
But those owners, just that Rooney Rule is just a joke. When the Cowboys, we're going to interview Marvin Lewis and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Mike McCarthy gets the job.
Mike McCarthy, who's like, okay, he's won a Super Bowl. He's maybe slightly more qualified than Marvin Lewis. Like, Marvin Lewis was making the playoffs with Andy Dalton.
Yeah. I might argue that Marvin Lewis did better than McCarthy because he had a worse quarterback.
He had a worse quarterback and still made the playoffs 7 years
in
a row.
And he's in the division with the he was in the division with the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah. The Packers were in there with the Bears and the Lions and the Vikings.
I might argue Marvin Lewis did a better job.
I wouldn't argue against you. So, but Georgia's, yeah, I think Georgia's got it because Georgia's defense is going to be great next season. Might be one of the best, if not the best, in the country. But that, to me, that at defense does not win championships. Elite quarterbacks do. And that's what Clemson has. That's what Bama had with Tua. That's what Oklahoma's had, even though they haven't won any championships. That's what Ohio State has now. That's what LSU has with Burrow. And I think we had one with Fromm, and we were right there. We were close, couldn't get over that, couldn't get over the hump. It was a team with another elite quarterback that was beating us. But for this season, we don't have one, and we won't have one. That's why we gotta sign either Williams or Vandegrift.
I agree.
But we also have to demonstrate we have an offense that will appeal to one of those guys.
And you know that's getting used against Georgia, too, for trying to sign these guys.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because the lock of the year was when Arik Gilbert visited during the Kentucky game, mm-hmm. and like 2 days later he was scheduled to announce where he was committing. Like, well, it's not going to be here.
Yeah, that was a bad night for offense.
Yeah. I'm going to guess he's not committing here after attending the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
So.
Which made the signing of Darnell Washington
that much bigger. Yep.
So, yeah, I know. That was a good get there. God, we haven't even talked about Zach Evans.
Zach Evans and the Cade Mays situation too.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do a quick little break, but plenty more excitement to get to because there's always excitement when it comes to Georgia football. Chris and Dave, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. Subscribe on iTunes. Just listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or make sure you download the 960 The Ref app. And that you can find in the App Store if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android, you can locate it at Google Play. All right, a quick break, and then we're back with more of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Part two, the Crossover Podcast, presented as always by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. We love them in Watkinsville and also in Five Points in the old Waffle House location. So we talked a lot about Fromm leaving, and then the same, like minutes later, actually, Fromm released his statement, and then like what, 5-10 minutes later, there was that report that Cade Mays' name was in the transfer portal. And to me, that was more shocking because I wasn't expecting it. And then a little bit later in the day, we're recording this on a Thursday. All this happened the day before on Wednesday. A little while after that, then there was it came to light that the Mays family, his dad, is suing Georgia over an incident that happened during a recruiting visit before Cade had even signed here, where I guess Mays' father lost part of his finger in a folding chair mishap.
Yeah, I think you summed that up pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a couple years ago this happened.
Right.
And they're just now suing the lawsuit that was filed in early December of last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, was there a statute of limitations that they had to file it?
Probably.
Or, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have to ask my lawyer buddies that kind of stuff. Like I have a lot of I have a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I don't know all that
stuff. Stevens listens to The Ref. He's a frequent.
Judge Stevens could let us know.
Absolutely. Judge Stevens would know.
He's a great listener.
Judge Stevens ought to throw that out.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, it's kind of weird, you know. And then there was a national story earlier today talking about how Tom Mars, who, you know, we know him from trying to help student athletes get eligible quicker than
including Fields last year.
Yeah, including Fields, but the Luke Ford thing didn't work out. But anyway, he's basically saying Georgia leaked this lawsuit. No one would have known about it. And, you know, just a low down thing that Georgia has done here. It's gotten really kind of soap opera-y of what's going on here with Cade Mays. You know, I've also heard the story that they were mad, his family, that Georgia didn't sign his little brother who ended up signing with Tennessee. And then when the pit boss left to go to Arkansas, that pretty much ended whatever ties that Cade had to Athens. I mean, I'm just throwing out a lot of the weird stuff that's been thrown out there.
Well, and even he had a connection with Chaney.
And the Chaney was here,
and now Chaney is in Knoxville.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I don't know. It feels like I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you found out there was a little tampering involved from Knoxville with Mays.
I would just think, too, though. Well, and again, I mean, guy grew up in Knoxville. He's from Knoxville. His dad played for Tennessee. He's a captain for Tennessee. I'm sure Cade's been catching for a couple of years now from all the Tennessee people and people he knows and stuff like that too. I mean, I get the pull.
Well, I remember when he committed here and signed, the war zone that is social media. You had Tennessee fans that you could look on there. They were wishing hoping he would break both of his legs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure Georgia fans are returning the favor to him.
Exactly. I know.
It goes both ways.
It's just kind of sad that it's gotten to that, but. It is funny of what it's kind of turned into here now, and I guess, you look at it in his situation, and he must feel like he can get immediate eligibility, and maybe this lawsuit's part of that. Maybe he can claim a sick relative or something. I don't know. Maybe he has one. I'm not trying to say there's not, but just, I think he has to feel pretty good that he's going to be playing next year, because if he's not, he's just kind of wasted a year, because you would think, if he stayed in Athens, play in 2020, and then go to the draft.
Yeah. Based on what we've seen, the guys like Luke Ford are the exception. And I honestly, maybe it has to do with the fact that you're just Illinois football, but these guys that leave and go to big programs are getting eligible.
They're getting eligible.
Now, Aubrey Solomon last year went from Michigan to Tennessee, and I don't know what his circumstance was, but he got eligible. He played last year.
Martell,
yeah.
There's another one.
Fields. I mean, I know Fields had the thing here with the baseball player, and but
which you can understand until then you think, well, wait a minute. If it was that horrible, his sister plays on the softball team.
His sister's here, I know.
I know. So it seems like every story has a counter to something.
Yeah, for me, I'm in favor of them being able to play immediately. But it's just this charade that the NCAA has where there's no consistent. One guy can, one guy can't. So basically the NCAA has created this system that leads to nonsense like this, where whoever leaks it, I don't know, but the sense you get probably is like this lawsuit is part of the Mays bait to help him get immediately eligible. Like, hey, I can't play there. I'm suing the school. I've got to go somewhere else. It won't be comfortable for me.
Yeah.
But he played in the Sugar Bowl.
I know. He played in the Sugar Bowl. But if that were the case about the lawsuit, and they're claiming Georgia leaked it, but then you feel like, well, that would help him to get eligible, then that doesn't make sense either.
Well, maybe that's the play with Mars, is like, now Georgia's leaking this lawsuit, so the relationship is rocky, so Mays, he's got to leave. It'll be uncomfortable for him. I don't, yeah. Like, he's going to play. He'll be able to play next year.
I'm totally expecting that.
Yeah.
As a Georgia sports fan, I'm completely expecting.
And they come
he'll
here.
He'll be here in Athens in November.
He'll be starting on their offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's mean. I mean, he's what you like in an offensive lineman. He's feisty. He's got a lot of salt. So he ain't going to care.
No.
He comes in here, he's probably going to thrive on it.
No, and I'm sure our defenders will probably have our pass rushers will have a little extra hot sauce for him, but
exactly.
He'll give it back.
Yeah, exactly. So it could create a interesting – who's going to be Tennessee's quarterback next year?
Right now, I guess
Maurer?
Garantano.
Or Garantano? Okay.
They gave it – Maurer took over, and then Garantano, he took it back.
He got it back. He's not in the portal, is he? Garantano.
No, but maybe Maurer will end up in there if he doesn't beat Garantano.
Hey, here's a weird thing. Could Georgia go get Felipe Franks?
Yeah.
That would just be the weirdest thing.
The question is, do we want him?
That wasn't what I asked. I just asked, could that happen? There's a difference between possible and probable.
But what about Fields?
I know.
Could we get him back?
Hey. Who knows?
Day and age.
It's so bizarre that's, and again, I'm with you. I think the players should have the rank, they shouldn't be tied down to their schools. But now there is this, what we've never had before in college football is this free agency.
Yes.
You know, that's what it's turned into.
Yeah, I know it has. And
the timing of the early signing day makes it weird, too. Let me ask you this. Do you think, all right, the situation at Mississippi State and the situation at Baylor, are the coaches leave now for two different reasons. One got fired and the other left on his own. Do you think those guys that signed national letters of intent for those schools should be released from them since the head coach is no longer there?
Yeah, I think they, if they wanted to be, yes.
I think they should have, a little bit of power in that.
Yeah, and especially with Mississippi State where they fired the guy who had signed them.
Right, exactly. But my feeling is, look, I know there are some that they want to play for the school, and I get that too, but we're not naive enough to think that, look, these schools are signing these guys because of the relationships they've made with the coaches and the players that they know that they've played with. I mean, it's not just about, hey, I grew up loving Baylor.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm not going anywhere.
And that was when Sam Pittman left with all the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I think we had to be realistic and say probably those guys are committed here because of Pittman, which is like Josh Braun was strange because, all right, he decommitted and he said Pittman was the reason why, but he didn't go
Arkansas.
He didn't go to Arkansas, though. Yeah, he went to Florida.
And probably Pittman might have said, man, I can't take you to Arkansas.
Yeah, you don't really want to come here now.
Yeah. But he probably just said, look, that's not a good look.
But I did because I think Tate Ratledge said that Pittman told him that he needed to stay at Georgia. That was the best place for him. So, I appreciate that about, Coach Pittman.
But where's Ratledge from? Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, because I know Jeff talks about it a lot, about signing state players versus signing national players. There's nothing wrong with the national guys, but are they quicker to jump in the portal, maybe, than a guy that you sign from your own state? Especially when a lot of guys, one of the things that we don't think about very much is you get homesick.
That was Luke Ford's deal.
Yeah, and if you're not playing, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So if you've got a guy that you signed from Rome or Macon versus somewhere out in the middle of Illinois, you're not going to lose that guy as quick.
I think
there is something to be said for that.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a strong possibility because, you know, again, Mays is from Knoxville. No, Otis Reese just jumped in the portal, but what's he from, like Albany, Leesburg,
yeah.
I think there's a higher risk of a guy that's from out of state deciding that he wants to maybe move back closer to home.
Yeah, so that's something to think about as well.
That was another thought I had about Fromm, is knowing that he lived in Athens. His roommates were Charlie Werner and Tony Losi. They're both moving on now, so Fromm might have thought, like, well, I'm all alone here.
And then he took his deer stand with him, and Cade Mays didn't have anywhere to go. I don't know.
Yeah. Someone needs to take the deer stand away from Ben Cleveland, apparently.
Exactly.
So.
And he's another one. He's a wild card for the fall.
Yes.
So I kind of feel like with him, if he didn't think there was a good chance, or if Georgia didn't think there was a good chance that he could get his eligibility back, he'd be gone,
He'd
too.
Be gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my depth chart printed out. I've drawn a lot of names through it, though. But, Clay Webb and Cleveland are two that are just kind of circled right now. And I even guess Justin Schaefer on the offensive line because he's got some kind of a neck injury.
He had a neck brace on during the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. So, Mays now, I haven't scratched through him yet. He needs to be scratched out.
So, who is it right now, then, that Georgia would have across the line?
Well, you assume Hill, Erickson, and Salyer, who started the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Kinley's leaving. So then,
maybe Schaefer, depending on his health. We don't know.
Cleveland, possibly.
Xavier Truss.
And that's where you got Condon and Truss would be probably
McClendon.
The top two. Yeah, McClendon.
Yeah. And then, if Broderick Jones and Van Pran both sign, then Georgia's going to have six linemen in this class.
Yeah.
New linemen.
Like two, Willick and
Blaski.
Blaski seem more like
projects or red shirts.
Possibly Ratledge could play as a freshman.
Yeah, I guess he would be the one that would be, other than Jones, most ready, I guess.
Yeah.
At least what I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like the difference with Thomas when he came in and started. That was like, well, that's just because he's one of the five best offensive linemen on the team. With Jones or Ratledge, it would feel almost like you're back in that position where you need them to start or play a lot.
And maybe you have to take some lumps next year with some of those guys and take a step back just to get them experience and get them ready to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And by the way, we haven't even talked about Zach Evans. I know we said we were going to mention him. I don't really know quite what to say about that other than it just seems like Georgia just finally said, hey, you're a good running back. We like you, but there's just too many things going on. We're just going to have to let you go.
Yeah. Maybe we touched on that a little bit last week, him not playing in a state championship game. He had been suspended a couple other times during the season.
The cell phone was kind of weird.
He violated some sort of cell phone policy, which I understand was basically the team is, you don't use cell phones during the year, but he decided, no, I'm going to. And
yeah, I don't know. So he'll be somebody else's running back. I was about to say problem. I shouldn't say that.
That's the thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's not like he hasn't committed any crimes.
That we know of.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just all kind of issues with coaches and that maybe Georgia decided.
Yeah. We didn't know about Clay Webb thing either. And
that potentially was a crime.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's a bad story there. I don't even quite know what to say about that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I feel more comfortable talking about it on a podcast than like actually on the air, but I still don't want to. But I'll honestly say, like, if he did what he's accused of having done, like, I'd be all for having him go play football somewhere else.
Me too.
So
me too. I mean, that's not just an assault. That could be considered like a sexual assault, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know all the legalese of that kind of stuff, but it's just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, just you could Google Clay and Webb and you will
and
find
lawsuit.
Out.
Lawsuit.
Yeah.
And you can read it for yourself.
He has an ongoing legal matter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, action-packed edition today.
Didn't even mention Georgia basketball.
Well, yeah.
Tuesday night didn't surprise me. But getting the win at Memphis was good. I just had a kind of weird feeling about Kentucky. Coming up Saturday, that's going to be a tall task since Auburn's really, really good.
Yeah.
By the way, you know why Auburn's
Vandy
good?
Hung with Auburn, though.
They did.
The other
they
night.
Did.
Last night.
Yeah, they only lost by, what, four?
Yeah.
Was that in Nashville or was that in Auburn?
I think it was at Auburn.
Okay. So, you know, that's the funny thing, too. We're talking about experience and players and that kind of thing. You know what Auburn has? A bunch of seniors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They have a bunch of seniors.
And they're one of two undefeated teams left in the country.
Them and San Diego State.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Where did Kawhi Leonard go? He went to San Diego State.
He went to San Diego State.
Interesting.
Yep.
So, anyway, we'll see how the Dogs do on Saturday. But even if they lose, it's not going to temper my enthusiasm for them if they have back-to-back losses to Kentucky and undefeated Auburn. And, by the way, Tennessee comes to Athens next Wednesday.
Well, yeah, like Georgia's got to win that game. Then they go to Starkville, but then they have to go to Kentucky. So these first five games are brutal.
Yeah.
And then Georgia gets a break getting to play A&M twice because that's probably the worst team in the conference.
Well, that means Georgia needs to beat them twice.
Yeah. No, that like
– But you saw what they did to Ole Miss, didn't you?
A&M won, huh?
They were down 10 at halftime and outscored them by 20 in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, they've got
so anybody can, you know, do that.
I mean, that Buzz Williams is good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure he's just got to get his thing going
there. Get it going there, yeah. So, but that just, you know, I don't think Ole Miss is great this year, but still.
Yeah.
The fact they had a 10-point halftime lead and lost by 10 to what we think is the worst team in the league may show you that the league ain't that far apart from the middle of the pack down to the bottom.
Yeah. No, I don't feel bad about Georgia after losing in Kentucky. It's a game we've seen in the past where you felt like, I think Georgia's got a shot, and then Georgia's hanging in there, but just couldn't close Kentucky in the end. I'm like, well, this is basketball, and we're Kentucky, and you're Georgia. You're not supposed to win.
It's just like, was it last year when the Dogs went to Lexington and biggest game in the history of Kroger Field?
Yeah,
and Georgia won.
They're not supposed to win.
Exactly.
So you got this great environment at Stegman. Trey Young is there. Kirby was there. That rapper Quavo
Apparently
was there.
Belichick wasn't, though, even though that was the rumor that he was there. Apparently he was not. But, you know, here's the thing about that. Now, I know this was Kentucky's – this was their first true road game of the year, but everywhere those guys go, they get that atmosphere.
Yeah, and they probably thrive on it.
Yeah, they're used to it.
Yeah, like so, Ashton Hagans looked like he was loving it. Yeah.
He was loving it. And also, he's good.
Yes, he is.
So even if he might have been 90% instead of 100%, he's still good.
He was committed here.
What if the Dogs had him?
And Ant-Man?
And the Ant-Man.
Well, it'd be pretty good.
They'd be better than they –
Yeah.
What if Kentucky had the Ant-Man? and Hagans. Well, instead of being 14, they'd be 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if we still had Fields?
And Claxton. Fields. Fields.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we could use Fields about now, couldn't we?
You know, he was here. We let him go, though.
That's what I've been told.
All right, we appreciate you checking us out. As always, the Crossover Podcast, one of the most eventful editions, but unfortunately, most of the news was bad. Hopefully, it'll be better next week when we join you again. Subscribe on iTunes, listen anytime on demand, 960theref.com, or easier yet, download the 960 The Ref app. For Dave, I am Chris. The Crossover Podcast is, as always, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points in Athens.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.